otherwise. Moving it along. Oh, love this next performer. She was probably, when I moved here in 19, she was, yes, I said 19. She probably one of the first people who was nice to me. So funny, so original. What a fresh voice. Writes on that show, Speechless. Do you like Speechless? That's one of the best shows on damn TV. How about a warm welcome for Elizabeth Beckwith?
Much. Thank you. Oh, I'm so happy to be here. All right, let's get into it. Time's ticking. Okay. Guys, as I write this, I'm listening to Built to Spill Radio on Pandora, just so you know. In other words, I'm cool, you guys. I have advanced musical taste, and you should heed my suggestions and love what I love, and be sure to give me credit for introducing you to the greatness that I bestow upon you. Hot tip! The best Pandora station is called 60s French Pop. Go ahead, type that in for your drive home. You'll instantly feel like you're the sexy star of a foreign film, so you're welcome for that, no big deal. Just make sure when it becomes your new fave station, you let everyone know that I was the one who introduced you to it. Seriously, I'm going to be so pissed if you tell everybody about 60s French Pop and you don't give me credit. That's not cool. But let's take a trip back in time, huh? Then that wasn't even, maybe he did build the machine. Maybe, I don't know. Let's take a trip back in time, shall we? To a time before Pandora or Spotify. To a time before I became the authority on what you, yes, you, should be listening to. How did I get here? Let me tell you my tale. I was never one of those little kids who controlled the radio dial in the car. When I rode with other kids, they would immediately turn on the radio and turn it to the station that they loved as they rode to school to the sounds of Culture Club or Quiet Riot. That would never fly in our car. My dad drove me to school every day, and the radio was tuned to the AM commentary of syndicated radio broadcaster Paul Harvey. The broadcast always seemed to end just when I was getting out of the car with Paul Harvey's trademark phrase of, "This is Paul Harvey, good day." I don't do impressions. It was like Paul Harvey himself was bidding me adieu. Look at me using adieu. I am so influenced by that 60s French pop radio. I'm not kidding. You have to listen to it. As I got out of the car, Paul Harvey's good day was usually followed by my dad calling out the window, "Don't pick up any wooden nickels." Needless to say, I was pretty cool. Okay. I loved music, but as a little kid, most of my musical tastes were directly influenced by the record collections of my three older brothers. Take this out. Get loose. Oh, as I read from the page like a crazy person. Let's get loose. I was a kid in 1980s Las Vegas, or what my brother Patrick liked to refer to as the musical armpit of the world. The only radio station he approved of was 92.3 KOMP, the Rock of Las Vegas. Between my brother's records and KOMP, I became a classic rock expert at a very young age. But of all the music I was exposed to, I was completely taken with the Beatles. While my elementary school peers listened to Van Halen or Duran Duran, I was dressing in a turquoise Sgt. Pepper military jacket and saving up for a sitar. I loved all things Beatles and was convinced that I had been born in the wrong generation. Lucky for me, 92.3 KOMP, the Rock of Las Vegas, had breakfast with the Beatles every Saturday morning. I loved the music, but also all of the little bits of juicy Beatles trivia that went along with the Saturday morning program. It was like my personal Beatles National Enquirer. Dear Prudence was written about me as Pharaoh's sister. Love it! Sexy Sadie was a scathing critique of the Maharishi. Yes, please! Hey Jude was Paul's advice song to John's son Julian. Tell me more, sweet Lord. Now I have so many more questions. Why was Paul going over John's head? Inquiring minds want to know. I want to know! I devoured it all. My obsession with all things 60s music grew and expanded. I was getting into The Who, The Hollies, Simon and Garfunkel. I would get dramatic alone in my room wearing a turtleneck and sing along to I Am a Rock. Yes, I was a rock. I was an island. I had built walls. I had built a fortress deep and mighty alone in my room with my weird 60s music. And then two important things happened to kind of change that. One, I discovered, tell me if I'm getting a lie, this is, but I discovered the Bangles. The second thing was I made a friend. Okay, first the Bangles. It was right around the start of fifth grade when my brother Patrick told me about a band I should check out. A girl band that Bruce Springsteen himself was a fan of. And if you know anything about my brother Patrick, you need to know that he takes everything Springsteen related very seriously. And Patrick was passing this boss-approved music tip on to me. And see what I'm doing here, by the way? I'm giving my brother Patrick the credit for introducing me. As I know you will do when you love 60s French pop radio on your Pandora. That's how it works. Okay. This was pre-Manic Monday, guys. The Bangles had one album out on Columbia Records. It was called All Over the Place. Perfect timing, because I was just signing up for the Columbia House Music Club. I quickly colored in the box for the Bangles record, one of eight that I would soon be getting for one penny, baby. The box of cassettes arrived on a stormy day while I was home alone, sick from school. I promise it was really stormy. I'm not just being dramatic. It was as if the winds of change were literally swirling outside my window. Okay, I made that read a little over the top, but who are you to question the winds of change? Okay, I can't remember what the other cassettes were. All I know is I spent the entire day listening to the Bangles over and over again, which says a lot because I was not one to miss out on the Price is Right on a sick day. But there I was, missing my favorite Price is Right game, Cliffhangers, the one with the yodeling mountain climbing guy, to bask in the glory of this quartet of harmonizing young women. They shared vocal and songwriting duties just like the Beatles, which was no accident because they were obsessive Beatle fans just like me. I particularly loved rhythm guitarist / vocalist Susanna Hoffs. In a Christie Brinkley world, here was an olive-skinned girl with dark eyes and unmanageable hair, and people found her attractive. Well, I had my new hero in life. Clearly, I must become a rock star too for my hair to make sense in this world. What other chance did a brunette have in 1985? Now I just needed a band. But that wouldn't happen for a couple more years. Am I like way over? Do I have a time? I was like, okay. Sixth grade. Her name was Angela Mullins, and she was new to St. Vider. I'll be honest. I knew we were getting a new kid in our class, and I had already secretly been hoping that this magical stranger would be the new friend I had been longing for. But even in my most optimistic fantasies, I could not have created a more perfect partner in crime than Angela. As she got out of the car the first day, I heard her familiar voice, a familiar voice coming out of the station wagon. Paul Harvey? Good day is right. But the similarities didn't stop with her father listening to AM radio on the drive to school. Like me, she was half Italian with East Coast parents, and being on the young end of a big family, she had way older parents and way older siblings than any of our classmates, just like me. She, like me, listened to the record collections of her older siblings. She, like me, loved 60s music. She was everything I ever wanted in a friend. Someone exactly like me. We became instant friends. And for the first time in my life, I had inside jokes with a peer. We did Paul Harvey impressions at lunch. We had nicknames for each other that only we understood. And most importantly, she was teaching me new things about the Beatles. Did you know that Revolution Number 1 was named that because it is one revolution a minute slower than the original? No, I did not, but thank you so much, and please be my best friend forever and ever. This goes, you know what, I feel like I should cut off because it's 8:17, we have a hard out, Gary. I'm respecting the show. There's so many bears that are like, so good. No, but thank you guys. You guys have been so generous. To be continued, to be continued. I didn't know how long it would be.
You're right, damn right. Okay. Come here, bring it in. Oh, man. Elizabeth Beckwith, winner of the Drove Furthest to Get Here Award, except for Eric, who drove from Chicago. But thank you, Elizabeth. That was wonderful.